All right, so the Leafs have made a move this hour. They've acquired Riley Nash from the Columbus Blue Jackets for a conditional seventh-round pick. And he is currently dealing with a knee injury. He's going to be on the long-term IR. His cap hit, I believe, is 2.75, so he's not likely to come off it before the playoffs. This is simply a depth piece for the playoffs if he is back at 100%, which you presume he will be based on the timeline. And then his cap becomes irrelevant, more or less, because once you get to the playoffs, the salary cap doesn't matter, doesn't count. So the Leafs have added a piece who's, you know, a veteran guy, 31 years old. He's a fourth liner, generally speaking. Maybe can give you a little bit of third line, but mostly going to be a fourth line centerman who can take some draws, kill some penalties, and just a classical depth piece, and didn't pay anything for it. So standpoint, he's a bit piece.
Yeah.
And I like it. I don't see much of a downside here in terms of making this move for Toronto. And if you're Columbus and you're out of it anyway, just get whatever you can, basically.
Well, I don't think there's any downside, because even if he doesn't, you know, for some reason comes back and doesn't, you know, fit into your situation, it's just another player like that I think is an upgrade on potentially what you have. That's what I keep looking at. Like, if he's available, great. You know, if your team's rolling and you need him or you don't need him, fine. But if you can add him in, or there's injuries or something like that, to me it's just an insurance play, if you ask me.
Well, and just looking through some reviews, our buddy Mike Kelly, Myrtle, quote tweeting some stuff, like basically Riley Nash as a quote unquote shutdown fourth line center, he's pretty good at that. Like, that's who he is. That's what he is. And that's kind of what you'd be looking for anyway. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Bit of a strange move here, because Nash is going to arrive and immediately go on long-term IR, but the belief is Riley Nash will be available come playoff time. If he plugs in, what do you make of him as a player, and what do you make of this move for Toronto?
Well, I think really don't brush past the LTIR. That gives them more cap space between now and the end of the season. That's really is, I think, as significant as anything else. As far as being a depth piece, sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Do they need a fourth line center? Probably not. But the cap space is super important.
The fourth line center is a beard, Ray, for the cap space?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I look at this and I think, well, now they've just scraped out whatever his portion of the salary is that, you know, that goes into the long-term injury reserve. Now they put that on the reserve like Tampa Bay has done all season with Kucherov. It gives you that space over the cap, but you can't use that player. Now, if he were to come back and they'd have to put him on the roster, then they'd have to clear that space to make him fit. But his injury target line, I think, is just after, it's 4 to 6 weeks, I think, right?
Yeah, 4 to 6. He was.
So I don't think it even matters.
Like, no, if, exactly. Right. It's cap hit.
So it's cap space. So it's now, we got a day and a half to the deadline, or whatever the heck it is, 2 days to the deadline. Now they got more money to play with.
That can be beneficial, absolutely. And you got to believe that they've got their eye on something here, but I'm intrigued by Nash.
Don't you think for sure they do?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the Nylander absence is an illustration of why they need another forward. If you think you've got a really good team, which they do, or a really good chance, which they do, you see how one injury, all of a sudden, now you're looking at Mikheyev and Barabanov as your answer, and then you're not a long-term team. Like, I think they have to at least explore somebody of significance, and this gives them a little more room to do so.
Yep, opens the door.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that, but all I can think of is, you know, who? You know, Taylor Hall, is it Mike Hoffman? Is it, you know, is it that type? Or is it, you know, somebody a little heavier out of Columbus, like a Foligno or a Boone Jenner, if you pay a little bit more?
Yeah,
like, that's
maybe.
All I can
or
think
what, if it's
of.
A, what if it's a guy like, what if they get into something like Raquel?
Right.
Out of Anaheim.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I think there's lots of things we probably don't see. And I would say one thing about Dubas that I kind of have in the back of my mind is it's not always the obvious with him.
I like that, like, though.
Yeah, I do too. I'm just like, they think different. They approach things different. We'll see if it all works. But right now, I mean, a lot of what they said was going to happen has happened.
Well,
they said they were going to build a skill-based team. They've done that. They said they were going to get better, and they were going to be better defensively because of the way Keith can coach and the way that they can move. And I think they're a half a goal better this year in goals against. And they've done it with three goalies. You know, like, it's been what they said it was going to be.
I'm just looking at this because we mentioned Boone Jenner, who, again, I don't know if he's a fit because he's got another year left on his deal.
I like him. He's a player that I
– But here's the thing. You know. He's got a broken finger. He's on the exact same timeline. He's out until the playoffs. So if maybe you get sneaky here and you pull two of these rabbits out of a hat and say, we'll pay a price for Boone Jenner – and it doesn't even count against your cap until the playoffs. Like, is this the precursor of the exact same move but a different player?
Well, Raquel, as Ray speaking, Raquel's on LTIR right now, I believe.
Is he on it too?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
is the whole league on it?
The whole league.
But think about it. There've been so many injuries. It's just, I know we're focused of north of the border and just it's Gallagher kind of thing up here. But
yeah,
ultimately down south, there's been some injuries kicking.
Of course.
That Ekblad injury is massive. Like, you have to think, you know, Florida might be in the business. Boston, like, there's going to be a lot of teams. Like, it's not just Kyle that is in competition. You know, I would think that Shevel Dayoff is going to be trying to be very proactive. What's Ken Holland going to try and do? You know, is Bergie, who keeps telling everyone, no, I'm not doing anything, is he going to do something? Like, that's the crazy part. I think there's going to be a lot of moving parts here. I think maybe
well,
that's
I think
wishful
we hope
thinking,
so.
Though, guys.
We hope so, for sure. But the thing, I don't know what Raquel has on his deal.
1 year at 365, I think.
After this? Yeah,
yeah,
and Jenner's got 1 year at 3.75. So let's say they're both, like Riley Nash, going to be on the long-term IR until the playoffs, but you're paying for an extra year. So it would cost a lot more for those two guys.
Right, and the other thing to remember, too, is, you know, to not be overlooked with this is, so we say, yeah, you just stash them there till the playoffs, and then they start playing, but then they haven't played in 6 weeks.
Yep.
And by the time they get rolling, maybe you're out.
Which is a gamble. Yep.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's in the poker game, I guess, for sure. I mean, Foligno makes a lot of sense, like, for a lot of teams. He's a good player. He's still got juice to him. I know he's 35 or maybe he's 36, but, man, he can play in a bunch of different spots for you, and you're never going to have to worry whether he's going to show up at playoff time.
Yeah.
I think he's got game left.
I agree. He'd be perfect. He'd be perfect in a lot of different spots, and if he's available, and I don't see why he wouldn't be. Columbus is just falling off. Zach Werenski's now done for the year. Boone Jenner, Patrick Laine is just—he happens to be in the lineup, but really is bringing nothing to the table. And they're losing a lot of games, and it feels kind of like a death march for John Tortorella, or close to it. Columbus is in a bad spot, and Nashville's blowing past them. Chicago's up there, so I got to believe Columbus is looking to sell a little bit more. And that's just one team. It's about acknowledging and finding the sellers, right? And then every buyer is just going to be lurking like a vulture, trying to get in there and get whatever they can for the cheapest price possible. That's the game. That's poker right now.
Yeah. Well, I read a quote a little bit ago. I guess Ken Holland did some media, and he said, "What you're doing at the deadline is you're playing poker.
Mm-hmm.
You're just playing poker. You're trying to misdirect, try to add, try not to spend as much as the other guy wants you to spend, and you're still trying to make your team better. And, you know, can you lure somebody in to give you something that you can afford is the whole game. I mean, you can always make the deal. It's just whether you want to, you know, blow your brains out while you're doing it. Are you good enough to spend that price? And that's another thing that they all have to figure on.
Ray, we were talking about the Pearson signing out in Vancouver, followed up by how are they going to handle the Pettersson and Hughes contracts. Like, how's our boy Jimmy Benning going to handle all this out there, first on the Pearson signing?
Well, I don't get it. I mean, I don't, Tanner Pearson's an NHL player. He's a legit guy. Did you need to sign him for 3 years and 3.75 or 3.25 million, I think is the number. Did you really need to do that? Because right now, they're going to have roughly about $17 million in cap space and left. And they have to sign Pedersen, sign Hughes, determine whether they're going to bridge them or sign them long term. If they sign them long term, well, that's going to blow through all of that, or pretty much all of that cap money. You still need to put a team together. They don't have, you know, Benning said yesterday, or maybe it was this morning, I don't foresee any cap problems. He must have a different calculator than most people are looking at.
I love that. Don't foresee it. It's only my cap, yeah. But I don't
And
foresee
they're getting Stamkos and Subban.
So just think of this, though, guys. So Sven Berchi, he signed to a three-year deal at about $3.5 million. You've barely seen him. He signed Sam Gagner to 3 years at $3 million and then decided they didn't need him either. Louis Erickson, 6 years and $36 million. Beagle and Roussel were 3 years and $12 million. This is all money sitting like a bad meal in your gut on their cap. It's all on their tenure. And then he comes out 2 weeks ago, and I know maybe I'm critical all the time of this, but I live here. I see it every day. And he says, we need two more years. You've already had seven. That's like being, you know, you're in the league for 7 years, you score four goals a year, and you go and you tell the GM, you give me two more years and I'll get you 20.
Or
like, eventually, does there not have to be like, hey, wait a minute, we're spending tens of millions of dollars here for what? And that doesn't count Tyler Myers' deal, who's had a pretty good year, but they, you know, they free agent spent on him. That's a lot. Brandon Sutter's a serviceable player. He went most of this year without an assist, which isn't a problem, except he's a centerman.
Yeah,
right.
And that's part of the job.
I don't think the people out here quite realize the straits that they're in. I don't think they quite get it. Because Ray, Travis has done a hell of a job with a team that's undermanned, making them as competitive as they've been over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Ray, we were talking about Pedersen in particular last hour, and I was trying to be I just think about what he is as a player and what his contract would look like, because, you know, he's got 66 points 2 years in a row. Now, Hayes pointed out those are prorated because of 71 games and 68 games. But what do you see him as when he reaches his peak as a player? Because he's 22 and he's still got a long road. But I don't see him as a Marner. I don't see him as a superstar. I think he's just a great player. I don't see him as an elite player. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm trying to figure out, because he's a guy that I really struggle to assess as a player.
I was pretty disappointed in how he was able to play this year. Now, he had, I don't know the number, I knew it when the Canucks were playing, but he's hit 7 or 9 goal posts this year or something crazy like that. So his number could easily, in a good year, would look a lot different. I think he should be more than 70 points a season, but I don't think he's 95 points a season.
Right.
Certainly not with the roster that, you know, of guys around him. So I think he's a number one center, but I don't think he's he's not an Austin Matthews. He's not a Connor McDavid. He's not a Mark Scheifele, in my opinion, although he may end up in the same point range as Scheifele does in some years. I think he's a really good player. I just I don't have him in that upper echelon of guys that I probably did earlier in, or you know, like in last summer or whenever, after last year or whatever, I probably had him there in my mind. I don't right now.
I was comparing him, not the same type of player, but I was looking at like the Barzal deal, like a bridge at 3 year at 7, something like that, because we were trying to figure out, like, I don't think he's a double-digit player right now.
You mean 10 million bucks?
Yeah, no.
No.
That's what
I mean, when I say no, I mean, like, for me. Like,
right.
If I'm signing the check, no chance. Here's the cool little hook to this, is both Pettersson and Hughes are represented by J.P. Barry. So okay. You negotiate with one, you're really kind of negotiating with two. I mean, not that one, I'm not signing because you can't sign this guy, but I don't think it gets easier because Barry's sitting in the middle of both of them.
Yeah, I mean, we were discussing that earlier in terms of what you're asking for, what you're looking for. I have a similar mindset as you do based on how bad this season has gone for him. I mean, I think everyone can concede, Pettersson included, this is a complete write-off of a year. Like, he's barely played, and when he did, he really didn't play that well based on his standards.
Now, do you mean the team or him?
I'm talking Pettersson. Pettersson is a complete write-off. Clearly, for the team, too. I mean, he's a microcosm of the team, but him alone on a platform year, this is the worst year of his career. So that might affect the negotiations, and it certainly will from Vancouver. I'm sure if you're betting, you're like, listen, I'm paying you based on what you did this year too. But the game has changed.
You know what, Brian? I would say this. I don't know how you guys were, Jamie and O, but when I was in the last year of my contract, I didn't like it. I felt like everything was... I didn't score for three games, and I'm like, oh, I'm never going to get paid. Like, I would panic. Maybe he's like that. I don't know. Some guys have those career years. I tended to have mine right after I signed, like an idiot. I had just signed, and then I'd have this 40 goals. Yeah, great. You just signed for 3 years, you dumb. Yeah. Happened twice.
Yeah, right after you signed. Mr. Security. Man, you're a great player when you got that security.
Yeah, that was real bright. I don't know how you guys were, but maybe that's something that has, you know, got into his head early, because he started poorly. He started really poorly, and then it kind of got, he was stuck for a long time.
Yeah, it got ugly. Yep, for sure. Someone was snapping videos of some guy playing golf in Southern Ontario earlier today in Opal.
What was that? Was that one of those bears from the circus?
Yeah, it was some kind of jabroni that crawled over the fence and got on the golf course. I don't know if you saw that swing, Ray, but that has major issues. Can you comment on what you saw? Because I know your tweet said, "What is that?"
Yeah.
Well, so what I saw from a non-professional standpoint was no turn, no balance, spread way too far. If a pro ever looked at that, they would run. I can't fix that.
It was awful.
What about the Arnie Palmer finish and the little head bob juke and jive?
Yeah.
Missing the dart and the shot of whiskey right after that Arnie would have tucked up under there. I don't know. I honestly, like, where did the ball go?
Not that far.
I mean, I would have guessed that, but like, did it go way right?
No, it stayed on the fairway. What I was telling these donkeys earlier, and I guess I'll include you in that, is that deceptively hilly. It was a very significant slope, and I had spikeless shoes on. I'm holding on for dear life. I was like 275 out, 250 out on a par five. I should have hit a 3-wood out of there, but I grabbed like a 7-iron and just said, I got to get it alive. It was course management. It was brilliant. And I put it right in the middle of the fairway, threw a dart, and two-putted for six.
That follow-through screams, I cannot turn it over.
Two-putted for five. I don't remember. Five or six.
You said six. So out of all that brilliance of yours, you made bogey anyway?
Yeah, I did, actually. That's true. Yeah, I was bogey on 10.
The only thing missing was you pulling a Kim and breaking your putter on the green.
I know. Well, it wouldn't have been any worse, believe me. If I putted with a 7-iron all day, it couldn't have been worse than the way I was putting. Awful. But Siwoo Kim didn't give any strokes back.
The other thing I'm going to say, because I know Noodles, you weren't there, right?
No, I wasn't.
So, was he wearing sweatpants? Like, what was he wearing?
No, his gear is dialed in.
Thank you.
Really? You couldn't tell in the video. So at least he looked good while... like a rusty gate swinging that club.
Oh, yeah. Believe me, I've watched this swing. It's an awful swing. Like, it is really one of the worst swings ever recorded.
Yeah, but it's gear, Arnold Palmer with two separated shoulders.
Yeah, it really is. And about 15 spiked Arnie Palmers, too. That's what it looks like. It looks like I'm on the back end of a boys' trip where I've been drinking 45 beers a day.
Sparkling. Yeah.
And I'm just trying to get home.
That is right from the, like, checking out at the bar and going right to the first tee, and that's your first swing.
That's so ugly. What hole, like, were you, was that, like, into the round somewhere?
That was on 10. I was halfway off.
Oh, so you were loosened up by this.
Oh,
time.
I felt great. Yeah, I felt great. I really
was. I need to see it when you were tight.
No, that's the worst part. Mentally, I felt good about my game. Physically, I was in beautiful shape, and that's how I was swinging it. But we'll leave it there. There'll be more content in the future, believe me. Every time I play with a grappler, this guy turns into Stanley Kubrick. He's taking shots.
Well, I was
going to
say,
angles.
That was some good video shot without knowing it was being shot. That's
right.
The best part.
That's the best part, exactly. Anyway, enjoy the Masters, buddy. It's going to be a fun weekend. We'll do it Monday at 5.
Yep, perfect. Have a great weekend, guys. Be safe.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days and the Maple Toyota Corolla-thon are back with rates from 0%. Shop in person by appointment or online at MapleToyota.com.